You're one of the biggest leaders in the local food movement. You've been quoted in various books. You've been in the documentary Food Inc. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that are facing the local food movement right now? And how are people attempting to overcome those problems?
There are legal and non-legal challenges. I think if I could divide it into the two, when you come to legal issues, the biggest problem right now is the suffocating Food Modernization Act that came in on the heels of you know, the peanut scare in Georgia and these other things. The second issue, I think, is probably the distribution. That's a big problem. The industry has just very much enjoyed talking about food miles and carbon footprints, and that supermarkets are far more efficient than farmers markets, because even though farmers markets are localized, the small volumes that farmers are bringing to them don't justify the distribution miles, even on a local scale. I understand that argument. That is creating a very prejudicial price in the marketplace because of the inefficiencies of small-scale local distribution. Fortunately, because that is not a legal issue, it is enjoying a tremendous amount of innovative entrepreneurship, so that we're seeing an explosion of what I call electronic aggregation, so that we have virtual farmers market softwares popping up everywhere, so that we can shop online locally in real time with virtually door-to-door delivery, or certainly drop zones, drop points. And this is creating tremendous economies of scale on the local level.
That almost sounds like more of a regional food system rather than a local food system. Do you think that that's where the conversation needs to go? Less focus on, you know, this hyper-local and more on these regional systems?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, if you ask five people their definition of local, you'll get five different answers. And I certainly don't have an answer. You know, people say, well, you know, is 100 miles really local or 50 miles really local? Well, you know, we can argue about that, but it's sure more local than 2,000 miles. And so part, of course, eating local is to have an educated consumer base that appreciates seasonality and domestic culinary skills. Those two elements are critical for developing a credible regional food system.
I'm wondering if there's a class component to the conversation about local food as well. You have these farm-to-table dinners with pretty high price tags. You have this perception that only wealthy people can afford to shop at high-end grocery stores like Whole Foods, which source a lot locally. Does the movement have a perception problem at all?
Absolutely. The elitist. I'll go ahead and say it. I mean, I've been certainly accused of being an elitist. Whenever somebody says that they can't afford our food, and this applies to, you know, inner city, suburban, urban, whatever, it doesn't matter, rural, I want to grab them by the collar and say, okay, take me to your house. And I'm sure here's what we're not going to find. We're not going to find a flat screen TV. We're not going to find Burger King or McDonald's takeout. You see where I'm heading with this? The fact is that there is money in the system, and to just simplify it and say, well, because it's higher priced, it's elitist, begs the question of a personal value system, a personal value statement. And yes, there are definitely impoverished, down and out people. My heart goes out to them. I can't solve every problem that's out there, but I do know one thing, that there are tremendous ways to change our valuation of what's important to us.